It's the Kim Munson Show.
The Washington Times said that patriotic Americans donated U.S. flags after protesters raised the Mexican flag over the ICE facility.
Analyzing the most important stories.
It is not fair that people come in illegally and they have three square meals a day, TVs and all. There's something that is wrong with this picture.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
When we get into conversations with people, you can get real bombastic with each other because you haven't read it. You don't know what you're talking about.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
So if you understand the issue, then you can have calm, reasonable conversations.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. It is one of the holiest days of the year. Christmas Eve, one of my favorite days. It's just magical, Christmas Eve. There's something about it. And I just love this holiday when we celebrate this, the birth of our Christ. Producer Steve.
Well, as you're speaking and saying those very words, I'm thinking, well, as a kid, we just blew right through Christmas Eve because the big objective was tomorrow morning. But obviously, and in throughout the course of life, the significance of Christmas Eve, it just gets bigger and bigger in your heart, in your mind. So yes, I agree.
And we've got a really great show planned for you today because it is Christmas Eve. We will be talking with Chris Stefanik. He is the founder of Real Life Catholic. And we'll be talking about the meaning of Christmas, the joy of Christmas, particularly during this crazy time that we are calling 2020. Steve, I'm really excited to talk with Chris for this show.
Yeah, I think we said something about that yesterday. What a bang-up year this has been, like no other that we've known. So it's awesome to be able to end on a high note like Christmas.
Definitely. So our quote for today, I thought it very appropriate to go to the Bible. And of course, Handel's Messiah took these words from Isaiah 9:6. And put beautiful music to that. It says, For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Are those not beautiful words, Steve?
Well, probably just like myself, we got to know them through the music part of it, much sooner than maybe we were able to, go to the Bible and look for those words in Isaiah. Your first experience with those words was through the Messiah. I'll put in a plug for my church, Southeast Christian in Parker. We've been doing the Advent throughout the month, and pastors drawing from Isaiah, and there's so many great quotes beyond the ones that we know like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was chapter 59, the references to the light, to the coming light. It's just awesome.
Well, a light overcomes darkness. And given what has been occurring in 2020, the darkness of these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties shutting down our freedoms and our liberties and our trying to prevent us from going to church and worshiping and being with family and friends, the light will overcome this darkness. We know that. But it has been really, I think, a soul-searching year. And in a way, it's a good thing. We were kind of fat and happy last Christmas time. The economy was roaring. Unemployment across the sectors was at record lows. And we were taking all that for granted. Not so much this year. Things that I kind of whined about last year, like, wait a minute, I think being grateful for what we have, living with joy, living with intention, Christian intention, all those things have been a real wake-up call for me, Steve.
Well, our eyes have been open throughout the year as we stand back and marvel at the way things have come down. Is it so much the virus, or is it the response to the virus that has us totally perplexed?
The response to the virus has been what has been really amazing, and it's clamping down on the American idea. And the American idea and the Christian idea, the Judeo-Christian worldview, I think are very closely aligned. They're actually both steeped in liberty, which is the responsible exercise of freedom, as our friend Ben Martin says. And there is a lot of liberty, a lot of freedom in living a Christian life and understanding that there is such hope in what we celebrate tonight, the birth of this infant that came to save the world. It is a remarkable story, Steve.
It is, and those words that you just now said is the focus for it all, is to look into our own lives and pushing back the darkness.
And we all have it, and that is why I've been really concerned regarding what has happened in our country, that I think that there are people that don't see anything more than beyond what this life is. And the fact that Christ has come to give us eternal life, it is a story that gives us great joy, gives us great hope, light. And the other thing I wanted to mention is the very end of Isaiah 9:6, that he will be the Prince of Peace. And we could use some real peace in our life right now, Steve.
Oh, man, could we? I hate to sully this moment that we've created right here with politics, but this, all these bogus and, I think, very fake calls for unity.
Yes.
They're just not, I don't sense that they're real. And that peace that we're talking about here and now is elusive to the country. And I really wish it was not the case.
Well, we will be celebrating what is not elusive, and that is the birth of Christ. When we come back, we'll talk with Chris Stefanik. Before we do that, though, just want to say thank you to Hooters Restaurants. They're great partners of this show. When you're getting together with friends and family over this Christmas holiday season, how about letting Hooters cook for you? They have all kinds of to-go specials. So go to HootersColorado.com for more information. That's HootersColorado.com, and we'll be right back with Chris Stefanik.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
To the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of the great stuff that we're doing. And you can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And Merry Christmas. It is Christmas Eve, one of my most favorite days of the year, a holy, holy day. And it seemed totally appropriate to have as our guest Chris Stefanik. He is the founder of Real Life Catholic. Chris, welcome to the show.
I am so blessed and honored to be on your show. Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas to you and yours. And I think the last time we talked was during Easter week. I always, on these really holy weeks, I always like to talk with you, Chris. And we were just kind of starting this whole COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus reaction disruption. We thought we were going to flatten the curve, which we did. But whoever dreamed that we would have the year that we're having? What's happened with you, Chris Stefanik?
Yeah, and it's whoever dreamed that we'd be talking right now, and we're still in the thick of it, and it might be getting worse. Wow, what a year. You know, I like to say we're all in the same storm. We're definitely not all in the same boat. I mean, I've had a rough year, and a lot of people have had way rougher years. You know, I just went to a dry cleaner the other day to pick up stuff because they had gone bankrupt. Talked to a friend yesterday whose 90-year-old grandma died of COVID, and he was not allowed to be there to give her a hug goodbye. Mm. And he's in his 20s, and his kid, like the risk to him would be astronomically low. So there's so much suffering. So much of it doesn't make sense.
And I want to go back. When you said we're in the thick of it, did you mean we're in the thick of it because of COVID infections, or we're in the thick of it because this reaction and what it is doing to people?
Both, but I think more the reaction is devastating people's lives. You know, it's hard to sort through and find logic in the reaction, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, it's crazy. So we're experiencing the frustration of really a political oppression like we've never experienced before. To be told, there's churches that have been fighting this fall to allow people to come and worship, because worship is an essential thing for spiritual health. I mean, right, as a Christian, I see the essentiality of it. But it's also essential for mental health, for people to be able to go to church, unwind for a minute, and pray. I'm friends with the Archbishop of San Francisco, and he's had to battle the governor there because they were passing laws that even in their cathedral, which can seat thousands of people, the government was mandating that only one person be allowed in there at a time. There's literally zero logic to that. In D.C., they were battling because there was a very arbitrary rule that I think it was 25 people max going to a church. You know, I'm not going to battle against it. If someone wants to say, look, we have to socially distance, fine. Let's not die on that hill. But if the social distancing is then translated as max 25 people in a church that could fit, some of these churches could fit 5,000 people.
It just doesn't make sense.
There's no logical sense there.
But yet, on the other hand, I was driving down the road the other day in front of one of the big box stores. The parking lot was full. And so how is that they can be open, but yet you have these restrictions on our churches and our houses of worship? It just doesn't make sense. And I think back last year at Christmas time, the economy was roaring. We had record low unemployment for women and blacks and Hispanics, and people were finding jobs and we were thriving and prospering. And Chris, I remember back during that time, because we always are talking about big ideas in this battle of ideas that was percolating underneath the surface back then. That's why we do the show. But now, and people would say, oh, Kim, I'm not into politics, but I'm like, politics is into you. And now people know that politics is into you, and it's not pretty.
That's right. No, it's not. And it's real, right? I mean, look, I think COVID is real. I sure don't want it. I don't want my dad to get it. My dad's, 74. He has had open heart surgery. But I'll tell you what else is real. It's when you don't keep an eye on the things that you're talking about in your show, when you don't keep an eye on people in political power and push back, the interference in your life becomes very real. And I deal with the same thing with in my world with philosophy and religion. People say, I'm not into that, I'm not religious, or I'm not a philosopher, I don't think about these things with the meaning of life. Well, we're all in this world. It's all part of reality. We're all living in this world where this stuff is, we're experiencing it every day. And we have to engage. This is the time. And really, if I showed my church for Christmas Mass tomorrow and there was some sign saying, only 25 people allowed in my church that fits 500, I'm sorry, I'm walking in.
Yes, yes.
Praying.
And prayer is so important. And one thing through all this, Chris, there's some really great things that are occurring. And one of them is that Patty, my researcher, we talk about it. She said, more people are praying than she's ever recalled. And I think that people are coming back to the things that really matter, our faith in God, and the fact that we have this Savior. If we ever thought in 2020 America that we needed a Savior, we realize it more than ever. 2020 has shown us that. And of course, today we celebrate the birth of the Savior of our world, Jesus Christ. And there is so much good news in that. What's your thoughts, Chris Stefanik?
I've been thinking a lot about the world 2,000 years ago. the world that Jesus came to. It was an absolute mess.
And kind of deja vu all over again, huh?
Right. I mean, some people think I can't have the joy of Christmas unless my circumstances are all right, or unless I could put enough gifts under the tree because my business is thriving or my personal life and health and all these things are thriving. Well, Jesus didn't come into a world where everything was thriving and everything was good. You want to talk about political oppression? Rome had taken over the Holy Land. There's the constant uprisings. You want to talk about riots in the streets? It was madness. It was a hard time in history. And not only that, when you think about where God touched down, he came to the Holy Land. I've been there many times and lead pilgrimages there. And there's, in Israel, man, Jerusalem's probably been torn down to rubble and rebuilt more times than any other city on earth. This is the place in the world where God came. And why? Why would he choose a difficult time in a difficult place? Because he loves us. He wants to enter into our mess. We don't have a God who stayed hidden behind the clouds. And furthermore, we don't have a God who came down as love would. And we believe that God is love. And love wouldn't just stay hidden behind the clouds where it's safe. He'd come into our mess with us. But he came into our mess not as a king and not as someone who was on a throne and removed and high above all of it. I mean, the Greeks and Romans had their vision of God, who was powerful, who was mighty, who was, who could crush all the oppression of his time. Our God, who is love, comes into it with us and doesn't change things by crushing all the political powers that existed at his time. He changed things by changing us. He changed things by walking through all the experiences we'll ever have, from messy political times to death. To a difficult death, to show us that he loves us, to show us that wherever we are in life, our God is with us. That doesn't make all the pain go away. It doesn't change all the difficulty we experience in life, but it totally changes us when we give our hearts and lives to him.
You're mentioning this, which takes us directly to Easter and the resurrection and Christ overcoming sin and death. But what you just said, and I think it's really important, he comes as a baby and he lives a life. But the thing about going to the resurrection or to the crucifixion and resurrection is Christ experienced everything that we could ever, ever experience. He experienced all of his friends and family deserting him. He experienced losing everything. He experienced hunger. He experienced pain. He experienced health challenges as he was beaten before he was crucified. He experienced all of it. And because of that, he will walk through it with you, with me, as we go through these things, Chris. And there is such hope in that, such hope.
Well, yeah, and you can see that right in the early church. I mean, it didn't get easier after Jesus died and ascended to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit. It didn't get easier for his followers, right? I mean, you talk about political problems. Again, Nero was in charge when the early Christians were responding to the good news of the gospel and the birth and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Nero liked to take Christians, impale them, cover them in tar, and light them on fire to light his palace at night.
You're talking about cruel.
The first Christians, he was a messed up guy. They had some serious issues. The early Christians, they were aware of this stuff. They knew what was going on, and they didn't bury their heads in the sand. They wouldn't have said, I'm not political. Right? They engaged the problems of their time, and within 300 years, the Roman Empire became Christendom because they engaged the world around them. But I'll tell you what, their hearts and minds were filled. While they were aware of the problems, their hearts and minds weren't filled with the problems. Their hearts and minds were filled with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why if you read the things that St. Paul wrote from prison, and I've been diving into these things a lot because it's a difficult time in history. It's a difficult time in my life in many different ways. But to dive into Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, St. Paul is not writing from prison, in chains, with the people around him as he's writing these things. they might have all been his executioners. They wanted to kill him. He's not writing and reflecting on his life in reference to the political reality. He's reflecting on his life and writing to his followers in reference to the greater reality that we all live in as Christians, when you live in Jesus Christ, which is the greater story than any changing political regime, which all these things come and go, Ken. They all come and go. All the craziness of our era, it's going to pass away like dust, right? What lasts, what remains, is that love that we celebrate on Christmas. And you could see that dripping from Paul's pen when he's writing from prison. And he's writing things like, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. It's like, dude, that makes no sense to write that when you're in chains.
Mm-hmm.
And some people think that the city septic was running by his cell in Rome. Some historians think that. So he's smelling the sludge and septic of the city. He's not smelling church incense. But most of what he wrote about how to be joyful, he was writing from that situation, right here in the midst of our messiness. There's got to be something profoundly different about the way we approach the problems in our world, something that differentiates us from conservative seculars who maybe see the truth about a lot of the issues but lack that focus on something greater. Even in the midst of the messiness, when you believe in the message of Christmas, you could have love, hope, joy. Isn't it strange? But we can have it even now.
Chris Stefanik, when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the word joy, because people think that, you know, oh, we all deserve to be happy. First of all, I'm not sure we deserve anything, but there's a difference between happy and joy. And so let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. We're talking with Chris Stefanik, who is the founder of Real Life Catholic. We'll be right back. Jason McBride, you are how I met Chris Stefanik. And he's a friend of yours, isn't he?
Chris is a great guy. And, you know, it's funny, our kids have kind of grown up together. So we've both seen our children go from just little buggers to the giant, smelly teenagers that they are now. But he's still got a couple of little ones left. So he's very fortunate. He's a bit younger than me. But Chris is just one of the best guys and best people I think I've met in my life. I mean, just he's a good man. I love the way that he preaches the gospel, for lack of a better way to put it. It's so unintrusive. It's not off-putting. You know, sometimes it can feel that way. And he just speaks from the heart. And you know, listening to what he has to say, it's I guess the word to me would be gripping. You just want to hear what he has to say. He makes great points. He's not afraid to be a little bit audacious sometimes and passionate and make his point about what he likes and also what he doesn't like. And I admire that about Chris an awful lot.
Well, I really appreciate the connection. And, you know, you just said something very interesting. And that is, you know, we're talking about the hope for Christmas. And in the show, you know, I'm looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And somebody said something to me one time, Jason, that our Lord loves us enough that he gives us the freedom to reject him. So he doesn't force himself on us. He came as a baby on Christmas Eve. We're celebrating Christmas today. And I think that that's really powerful. Now, there are those that use all kinds of things to try to force people to do things, but the real gospel, it is freedom. It is not force.
Well, and that is what's great about that, and what's great about America. You're free to believe and you're free not to believe. And I think that really it's the extremists either way that kind of make it tough. I mean, if you don't, that's fine, but don't be angry about it. Mm-hmm. For people that do, same way for those, the believers too. You know, sometimes there could be some judgmentalism there. You know, we mm-hmm. both know. And
human nature.
I think it is. But, you know, coming back to Chris, that's where he's just, one of the most unique individuals I've ever seen. And then also, he looks like Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers quarterback. I don't know if anybody told him that one before, but he does.
Well, you'll have to ask him.
So he's got a future once he retires, you know, being a body double or signing autographs or that type of thing.
Oh, there you have it. So, well, Jason, Merry, Merry Christmas to you. And I thank you so much for the connection with Chris Stefanik.
Yes, no problem. Merry Christmas to you and Merry Christmas to all your listeners. And thanks for having me, Kim. It's always an honor.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And while you're at the website, be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests and our most recent podcasts and op-eds. December 24th, Christmas Eve, one of my favorite days of the year, one of the most holy days of the year. Karen Levine, you're a great partner of the Kim Munson Show. People can reach you at 303-877-7516. What's your thoughts about Christmas Eve?
Well, it's a different season this season, I think. And that makes me a little bit sad.
We've taken so much for granted.
We have. And I have found that this has been really a year of reflection, a year of education, and a year of gratitude. Because we really do have so much to be thankful for when we're not able to gather with friends and family like we have in the past. But technology has afforded us things like Zoom, so we can see the smiling faces of our grandkids and our families. Yeah, our loved ones. I just think that tonight is going to be more special than really we have any idea that it's going to be.
Savior of the world.
Exactly. And remembering, why do we take this time out of our year? And we do that to give glory and honor to the King.
And speaking of that, I think it was a class I took with of Rafi Zacharias, who was a great apologist for the Christian faith. He passed on, I think, this year. An apologist means a defense of the Christian faith. But one of the things, he was going down a discussion with someone, and it wasn't him, it was somebody through his ministry, and said, it sounds like we need a savior. And you look at what's going on in the world today, and we do need a savior. And tonight is the celebration of the birth of Christ. I just love this day, Karen Levine.
I do too. And I was honored to get to serve at church last weekend. We do our Christmas services typically the weekend before Christmas. And our church was very committed to being open. And it was great just to see people who wanted to be in the presence of the Lord in their churches. And thank goodness that we were able to do that. And I look forward just to the fact that we'll look back on 2020 and we will see the things we were grateful for and the fact that we have a Savior.
We do. Merry Christmas to you, Karen Levine.
Merry Christmas to you, Kim, and to your family. And continue to do the great work you do at the Kim Munson Show.
And thank you for partnering with me to make that happen.
It is a pleasure, and I look forward to what 2021 has in store.
Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. We realize this Christmas season, just all the blessings that we have. It has been a challenging year, really, across the board. There are blessings that are peppered throughout that. On the line with me is Chris Stefanik. He is the founder of Real Life Catholic, and really a great conversation this last segment. Before we get into talking about joy, it has been a wild year for you, hasn't it, Chris?
Yeah, it has. Well, my ministry was largely based on giving live events to people, which have been completely destroyed. So, you know, I spent 5 years building his ministry with a lot of beautiful impact and, you know, 8 employees that all rely on the work that we're doing, and had to completely restart. You know, we thought it would pass in a couple months, and after a couple months, we realized, no, we need to rebuild the entire ministry. So in a lot of ways, it's been more fruitful than ever because we're focusing on digital ministry that can reach a whole lot more people. And we're just trying to be there for people as they need support, you know, with live digital shows. And it's been really beautiful, but it's also been incredibly stressful. I mean, I'm going through the same stress, despite the fact that I'm working for the Lord, going through a lot of the same stress as any businessman who's found himself having to, from ground zero, rebuild something new in order to survive. It's taken a lot of time away from the family, a lot of creativity, a lot of energy, a lot of stress. But, you know, trying to lean in and trust in the Lord right now, like everybody else.
Well, it has been. And the responsibility, what I hear underlying is really, I think, one of the most charitable things that one man can give to another, and that is a job, employment. And instead of a handout, just creating those jobs. Now, certainly there are people that need our help, and there's a lot of great charities out there. We had talked with Lyle Laverty last week with the Salvation Army. He's on the board. But giving people the dignity of work, that is a tremendous gift. And I know there are so many entrepreneurs, business people out there that are doing everything they can, sacrificing themselves to make sure that their people are employed to the very best of their ability.
Yeah, you know, it's a tendency in woke culture, and I should probably come back and talk about this for a half hour sometime, but woke culture is very real, and it's a religion. It's a crazy religious worldview. But it's a tendency in the religion of wokeism to demonize white-collar businessmen who are keeping everybody employed. And while I'm not one of the rich white-collar businessmen because I'm doing ministry, I know exactly what it's like to get up and go to work every day, not just because you have a great mission to accomplish and not just to feed your own family, but to bear the stress of 8 other families that you're feeding, or 10 other families, or God bless you if you got 100, 200 other families in a big business. I just want to tell you, man, if you're listening right now, you're one of those people who, you know, society looks at you and thinks, oh, you're the guy in charge. You're the man. You're bad. You know, I celebrate you. I honor you. And I'm so grateful for the burden you bear that so few people understand.
I am right there with you. And it seems to me with this COVID-19 Wuhan China virus reaction disruption, that politicians and bureaucrats are actively assaulting the middle class, those everyday hardworking people that get up and they create and they innovate and they create jobs. And I am very concerned about that from a policy standpoint. And Chris, as Christians, where Christ says that you are in the world but not of this world, for Christians that do not engage in this world, I think that that is a big mistake, because we are here. We need to engage in this battle of ideas. We need to understand why we believe what we believe and be able to communicate that. That's one of the reasons why we do this show, and I know that's one of the reasons why you founded Real Life Catholic.
Yeah, but this is your time in history. You're not here by accident. There's been a lot of times where I'm looking at the state of the world thinking, dang, it was so nice a year ago. Mm-hmm. You just get in a plane and not live with the constant reference to the limitations that you have, right? And, you know, we all face a time in life where we have to realize those limitations, like when you become terminally ill, right? Mm-hmm. But most of us go through life just pressing forward and making plans and doing fun things, dreaming big. And now we're living with this constant reference to, nope, can't do this. Nope, this business is shutting down. Nope, can't get in that plane. Nope, can't go into church with more than X number of people. We'd rather be in a different era, sure. We are in one of those eras that got smacked with insane amounts of turmoil. And here we are. It might get worse. But this is not an accident. I mean, just like it wasn't an accident where and when Jesus was born, or where and when the first Christians started to build their churches. You know, God's letting this happen. He really is, and he wants us to engage the battle. And why? Because he loves us. And that sounds really strange. But, you know, I think there's a particular way that if we engage the battle of our time, with hope, with joy, with charity, with love, even for people who are driving us crazy, even for people who are working against the kingdom of God. If we can still manage to love them, God give us strength to do that. You know, when you engage the battle, then you fulfill God's plan for your life. You know, if you want to build up a muscle in your body, what do, Kim? You work it out. You create resistance on it. You create resistance on a bicep if you want it to be big. I think there's particular ways right now that by engaging the battles in our world, God wants to bless and purify us. He wants to form us into the saints that only 2020 will produce.
I think
that while we're stuck in this weird time, we're going to be blessed through it.
I think that you are absolutely correct. Because when we were, quote unquote, fat and happy and didn't have to really think about these big ideas like freedom and liberty, and what does that mean exactly? And of course, liberty is the responsible exercise of freedom. Liberty isn't that you just get to go do whatever you want. There's responsibility in that. And I think that that's where we go to Christ, or I guess it's Paul that said, which you would know, we're in this world, but not of this world. And
yeah, no, I think St. Augustine said that too, right? We're in the world, and that thread is all throughout Scripture. You know, but we're supposed to be in it, but not of it. And that means that there's all these changing circumstances, but we have a bigger picture in mind than the page that we happen to be on. And when you live with that, you can live with joy. You know, and that bigger picture, because we know that God is love, and he proved it. He proved it by being born into our mess. He proved it tonight, right? Merry Christmas. He proved it. But when you see your life through that lens, it really changes you, right? And thank God. So thank God we're born into this strange era, and we're having to deal with the problems of our time, and let's deal with them with hope. I was just thinking while you were talking, now what if George Washington were born 100 years earlier? He's just been an average dude.
It's so interesting you're bringing him up, because tomorrow we'll be talking with Bill Federer, who does the American Minute, and wanted to do that show on the Washington crossing the Delaware on Christmas Day, I think it was, that night, and then the Battle of Trenton and the Battle of Princeton, because the Divine Provider, and they referred to God in several different ways, but Divine Provider I love, He showed up big time for George Washington and the Continental Army at that particular point in time. And that was his time. And I say, this is our time. I've interviewed on my America's Veterans Story show over 140 World War II veterans, people that stepped up for their time. It is now our time. And we stand on the shoulders of giants before us that stepped up when it was their time, Chris Stefanik.
Yeah. And that's the story of Christian history, right? That life isn't an accident, that we're not here on this planet by an accident, but that the universe doesn't exist as the result of some cosmic accident, that because there's a God, life has inherent meaning, and because that God is love, that meaning is good. And when you know that, you can look at the challenges of your era, and instead of shrinking back or just having a spirit that complains about it all the time without any hope, we could lean into the battles and say, you know what, I know who wins in the end. I've read the book. That every era is just, this is all passing, but the glory, when you lean into the battles of your time and become who God has created you to be, that the glory is never ending, that's waiting for us. You know, not just in the history books, and maybe the history books will, you know, maybe this battle in the world terms 100 years from now, it'll just get worse and worse, and everybody who fought in the side of good won't be remembered, right? Who cares? From the eternal perspective, from God's point of view, we'll be remembered. The ways that we engage this will be seen and will echo in eternity. So it's a gift to be here in this strange and crazy time with you, Kim.
Well, and you mentioned something earlier about the religion of woke. And if, in fact, that is that you believe that this is it, that there's nothing after, then of course you're going to want to do all these lockdowns and things to preserve your life as long as you possibly can on this earth. But we realize that there's a whole bunch more out there, and there is such hope and joy in that message. And these people that are or what was it, Franklin? I think several different people said that those who give up freedom for a little security will ultimately have neither. And we are seeing that big time right now. We've got just a couple of minutes left in this segment. What's your thoughts on that, Chris Stefanik?
Yeah, you know, I think reasonable precautions as you live your everyday life are wise, right? That's why you get in a car and you keep your eyes open while you're driving, or you use your blinker before you change lanes on the 25 freeway. When you go beyond reasonable precautions and say, I'm not going to get in my car because of the risk of death when I drive my car, that's not wise. That's cowardice. And there's a profound cost to cowardice.
Mm.
You know, so people can argue, fine, let's say there's reasonable precautions to social distancing. Great. Closing all businesses. You go from wisdom or reason to cowardice, and the cost is insane. You know, I had a dinner at a restaurant the day before the shutdown, and the waiters and waitresses, actually it was a couple hours after the latest round of lockdowns. So I was being civilly disobedient by going out to eat that night, and I was proud to be.
You rebel.
But that's right. The waiters and waitresses were almost in tears thanking us for coming in the door.
I know it.
And I mean, they were, these people are about, they knew, like, tomorrow I'm out of a job again. You know, and
you talk about cruel.
The cost of that is real.
It's cruel.
Yeah.
It's absolutely cruel.
Yeah.
But hey, Chris Stefanik with Real Life Catholic, let's go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about joy. Before we do that, though, one of my great partners is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They're located in Sedalia, Colorado, a family-owned business. They have knives from the finest blade makers from throughout the world. And so if you still have a little bit of shopping to do, check out Castlegate.com. That's Castlegate.com, and they have knives for the kitchen, for the sportsman, for collectors, and they also have are bringing in three different collections of watches. So check out Castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Chris Stefanik.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And sign up for our weekly newsletter. All kinds of great information, our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcasts, our most recent op-eds. And Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. I love this day, Christmas Eve. What a holy, holy day. And the perfect guest is Chris Stefanik, who is the founder of Real Life Catholic. Chris, I love these conversations that we have.
Me too. It's really a gift to be with you.
And this last segment, I want to talk about joy. Because in our woke culture, people say you deserve to be happy. That's been something that it's really come out of, I think, postmodernism and multiculturalism. And first of all, I don't think that we deserve anything. When people say you deserve to be happy, I mean, there's things we deserve, and that's because of our sinful nature, and Christ came to give us eternal life. But deserve to be happy, I disagree with that. But I'm not sure I like the word happy. The word I like is joy. And you mentioned it, I think, earlier, that there have been circumstances, people in concentration camps, people, you know, Paul in prison, where it's not really the happiest of circumstances, but they lived with joy. Address that.
Yes. You know, as far as woke culture's claim that we all deserve to be happy, woke culture doesn't know what happiness is. And you don't have to study people who are standing on the platforms of wokeness for very long to realize that they're kind of miserable. People whose religion, whose worldview is all around wokeism are some of the least happy people. And that's one of the reasons that the current dictatorship of wokeism is going to fail. You know, when the Christians in Poland were being taken over by communists, they thought this communist regime and this communist atheistic worldview, it's going to last for 1,000 years. They felt powerless. 50 years later, it's gone. But Christianity is still very strong in Poland. The church is still standing tall in Poland. And I know it feels like some of the craziness in our world is just never going to go away. But it just a joyless worldview just simply can't last. God offers us something more than a quote, happiness based on our circumstances, based on secular visions of equality, based on the stuff that we have. God offers us actual real joy, which doesn't come from a change in our circumstances, but a change in us. And it doesn't come about when everything is good and when all the battles with the world are won. Joy is something that we need to claim and lean into and spiritually work for, especially when the battle is not won, when you're battling for your family, for your business, for your society and politics. You need joy to battle well. One of my favorite scriptures, it's the joy of the Lord must be your strength. That's from Nehemiah. And Nehemiah said those words to God's people when they were in exile, and they were about to go home and rebuild their fallen city, Jerusalem. And if the city was fallen and there were no walls around that city in the ancient world, that was a very big deal. Your neighbors could just throw spears at you. So he was calling them to go home, rebuild, battle, and maybe die. And in that circumstance, he said, joy has to be your strength right now. And they must have been thinking, are you crazy?
Are you crazy, yes.
Like, this sounds like you're calling us to misery and maybe blood and guts and death. No, joy is not what you get when the battle's won. It's your strength to enter the battle. And I've been thinking a lot. I actually wrote a book about this topic. I've been thinking a lot about joy and the necessity of joy to enter the battle of society, to rebuild your culture, your family, and just to stay strong in your daily life, to face the battles of everyday life well. We need the joy of the Lord.
How can people get, I realize we haven't really talked about your website, which I'm sure is even more interactive than when we last talked, and people can purchase books and all that at Real Life Catholic, is that correct?
That's right, reallifecatholic.com. If you go to reallifecatholic.com/joy, I have, there's this free retreat that I gave through Advent, but you can also log into it after Easter. It's a daily email with me and Cardinal Cantalamessa, who's been giving retreats to the Pope since John Paul II hired him. He's an incredible, joyful 86-year-old guy. And I wrote a new book called Living Joy, 9 Rules to Help You Rediscover and Live Joy Every Day. That's on Amazon.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's all on there. And, it's you know, a lot of this stuff, Kim, I'm not doing ministry from a place of theory where I'm just sitting around thinking about, you know, these realities and what other people need. And I'm often, this is coming straight from my gut and what I need. I mean, I've 2020 has been a year where so much in my ministry and business and all this stuff's been completely turned upside down. You know, so I've been reflecting a lot about where does real joy come from for me, and where do I get strength to enter the battle of my life. So all these reflections, all the stuff that I've been writing about has been coming straight from the gut. And it's been really healthy for me to be focusing on it. It's been an incredible blessing.
I know exactly what you're saying. And it's interesting that you mentioned the gut, okay? And I was trying, I was talking with a friend of mine and was not making myself really clear. And but I just completed reading the Bible for my first time back around Easter time. And I say that, that doesn't mean that I got everything. I'm pretty sure that there was a time in Leviticus that I was actually thinking I needed to rotate the car tires on my car. I was having trouble paying attention. But it was a discipline that somebody had recommended. I've gotten out of the habit. I'm going to get back into it. I'm starting now for my second time. But there is, I think, a theory in Christianity that we talk about the heart a lot. But and I remember just reading in one of the Gospels that Christ said that a lot of the bad stuff comes from our heart. because I think it's a place where passion comes in, and the founders realized we needed to have passion and reason working together. Otherwise, we could get out of hand. But there's something about praying from your gut. The girl said praying from your bowels, praying from your gut, that there is a real powerful prayer in that. And it struck me. I never thought about that before. What's your thoughts on that, Chris?
Yeah, we have a God who doesn't want us to be fake with him. And the most popular prayers in Scripture and the most popular prayers in history would be the Psalms. Jesus himself prayed these Psalms. And I love reading the Psalms and thinking about that. And they're not full of vows and high language and lofty ideals. A lot of them are like, why, Lord? They're complaining to God. Or if they're praising God, it's praising him without denying the difficult things that are going on. So when I talk about joy and Christian joy and the joy of the Lord and the joy of the Lord being your strength, I'm not talking about putting on a fake painted smile and rose-colored glasses. And you do see that sometimes in Christian circles. Everybody put a big fat smile on, right? That's not what the Lord's talking about. You know, there's a joy that's also real. There's a joy that you can experience that you can experience concurrently with pain. And that's the miracle.
It is a miracle.
The beauty of Christian life. Yes, that's the message of the manger, where our Lord was born and then placed in a feeding trough for animals. And yet, there's the light of the world. There's the beautiful paradox of Christian faith. It's joy in the muck.
Oh.
Man, I love that.
Yes, and while we're here, we need to engage each and every day in, as you mentioned, the muck. We realize that there are days where we see the blessings and we're grateful for them. And then there's days that it's hard to see the blessings. And Chris, speak to the fact, and I think Lincoln has said this, you look back at many people that have written over the years, we can choose in some ways how we look at things. And when we're having a day that it's difficult to look for the blessings, we can actually go to work on that and help ourselves out, correct?
Yeah. You know, there's the battles in the world. There's the battles in your family. There's the battles in the business. You can only fight them well if you win the battle inside yourself. That's what the spiritual life's about. That in the midst of all this craziness, I'm going to choose today to focus on the blessings of God. I'm going to choose, while not burying my head in the sand, to focus on the joy of Christmas. You know, there are times where it's good to watch the news. There are times where it's good to turn the news off and read the good news, right? We have to balance all these things in our minds and hearts. It's part of winning the spiritual battle. And it is the natural tendency of the human mind to focus, to over-focus on what drags us down. And that's a natural tendency because your brain, like any other organ in your body, the purpose is not to make you happy, it's to keep you alive. So your brain finds all the problems naturally. You don't need to help your brain doing that. If you wake up in the morning, you're thinking of your to-do list, you're thinking of what might hurt you, that's the same brain you got as a caveman, dude. You woke up and thought, there might be a saber-toothed tiger, I got to get up and get moving and start finding my food and water. Right, but the Lord is telling us let's dive into the good news. I mean, what you did by reading the Bible this past year, in the midst of all the craziness in the world, I mean, did that change everything going on in the world? No, but it changes you and makes you the kind of person who's got an undefeatable spirit, like any of the greats that we studied throughout history, that you could be a world changer, right? I mean, God works direct miracles in the world, but the greatest miracles He works are through people who have allowed the miracle of grace to fill their hearts in the midst of all the craziness, that we start to have minds and hearts that can't be brought down by all the stuff around us, but that aren't constantly waiting on our circumstances to change in order to be happy. I mean, gosh, if I could drive something home to everybody listening right now, stop waiting for your circumstances to change to be happy. You got plenty of reasons to be miserable this Christmas, especially if it's a different Christmas where it's like, I just couldn't give the kids the amount of gifts I gave them last year, or someone's sick or dying, or and you're just, there's a lot of suffering this year. But the Lord never promised us joy that would come from our circumstances, ever. He promises us joy in the midst of whatever circumstances we're in. If I can encourage any particular biblical reading in this new year, focus on the stuff Paul wrote from prison. That has been blowing my mind this year. Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, it's dripping with joy. In fact, most of what you find in the New Testament about how to have a great attitude was written by a man in chains waiting to get his head chopped off. It showed this undefeatable spirit. That's what I want inside of me, you know. So, and you get that by taking that mind that often focuses on darkness and lifting it up to perceive the light of the Lord in the midst of the darkness, to perceive the love that is in a manger in what looks like dire circumstances. And yet, right in there, Lord, give us the grace to see it, is love, is hope, is eternal victory over death, and is the source of our joy. It's Jesus.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what this is about.
Chris Stefanik, Real Life Catholic. I just got chills, Holy Spirit chills, as you were talking about that. And there is this hope of Christmas and the joy of Christmas. Chris Stefanik, I wish you and your family and all those whose lives you affect a very Merry Christmas, and I'm so grateful for this conversation.
Merry Christmas. Me too, Kim. God bless you.
And the quote for today is from the Bible, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. My friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, God bless America, and Merry Christmas. And I don't want